Yeah, can you open us up in prayer, please? Thank you so much. I appreciate it. So everybody can come in and stuff. You guys coming in? Yeah, go ahead, please.
Dear Lord, I just pray you would clear all our minds of anything else but you tonight right now, Lord. I just pray that we can focus on this lesson, learn from it, and humble ourselves and have a contrite heart to hear what you have to say. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Tonight we're going to talk about faith. And I learned this lesson completely from the Holy Spirit and by experience. There are so many different levels of faith. It's so easy to have faith in things that you can see. You know, we live our lives out on earth, and we must strive to live by faith and not rely on our own eyesight. I cannot believe the things that I believe in just because I see them. I want to believe the things that I don't see. God never judges a person by his appearance. Rather, he sees our internal heart and spirit. It is his love within our hearts that transforms us into his very image. And it is by faith that we are saved, believing in an unseen Savior and a loving God. Through faith, we accept the truths found in the living Word. By faith, we acknowledge an invisible Creator that designed our wondrous universe. You know, I can think of, I think it was Thomas, who refused to believe in Jesus. And he refused to believe that Jesus had appeared to the other disciples. And in fact, he said, "Unless I see the nail marks on his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." His faith did not extend to the resurrection of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And I kept ringing in my ears this teaching today. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And I started to think about all the times I walked by faith. And I couldn't remember any.
Chapter 5, what?
1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Even when we were told that one of my sons would be mentally disabled and he had two holes in his brain, I couldn't walk by faith. When I was told that, you know, my guidance counselor in high school told me, "You know, you don't belong here in school. I don't ever want to see you come back." You know, I was scared to death I wouldn't make it. I was scared to death I wouldn't survive in the world. I tried to think up a time that I've ever stepped out in blind faith where I didn't use some sort of knowledge that I had gained by seeing something. Even when you make an investment in a .com, even if I roll the dice on a development that I'm doing, I have money in the bank to invest. I'm making a conscious decision. But to step out in faith, when Jesus appeared a week later to his disciples, Thomas was there. And this time Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And that's why they call him Doubting Thomas. And Thomas said, "My Lord, my God." And Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen, and yet they believe." I want everyone here to learn how to believe without seeing. I want Jim to believe that this was some sort of trial, and that beautiful job out there where he makes $500,000 a year is just around the corner. I want Brendan to believe that one day the company will take off and, you know, he'll have a position there. You know, I want Jamel to believe that James is going to be fine in soccer. I want to believe that Tristan's going to be fine in football. I want to step out in faith, not by sight. I don't want to be like Thomas. Because faith permits us to believe in a world not yet seen. A world we will call home for eternity. A place described in Revelations chapter 21, verse 4. where there shall be no more death, sorrow, pain, or crying. Sometimes I remember sitting there. I went to Kansas City alone because I wanted to seek God. And I go during the afternoons and I hang out at International House of Prayer, where they worship God 24 hours a day, never ceases. The only time they move the worship from International House of Prayer is on Friday nights. They'll stop worshiping as the new worship leader at the sanctuary takes over, because they have service there on Friday nights. So I go and sit there during the day and I just soak in. I just sit there and I open up my computer and I work from there. And I just sit there and I soak it up and soak it up. And I remember that evening I went to hear Mike Bickle preach for the first time. He's a forerunner. There are many forerunners on earth right now. These people have multiple giftings of the Holy Spirit, and they're usually confused. They don't know what they're doing. They're usually under persecution, but they are anointed to lay the groundwork for the kingdom that's coming. And when I heard him preach, he talked about the saints in heaven will pray, and the saints on earth will pray, and together the kingdom will come down on earth, and this will be heaven, where you can walk amongst the animals, where no one's ever hungry, where there's no more death, sorrow, pain, or crying. And when Jesus is coming back, everybody that had been martyred for Christ, everyone that had been used, abused, that died in vain, will be risen from the dead. And the people that caused them the pain will be risen from the dead. And they will be able to see that Jesus came back. What a glorious day that's going to be. Regardless, the Christian life, you know, was illustrated a long time ago by what the ancient Israelites experienced. As they trekked through the wilderness to reach their inheritance in the promised land, so Christians journey through life today with all of its obstacles on the way to their eternal inheritance in the future fullness of the kingdom of God. And there are lots of obstacles. It is so hard to have faith in this world that we live in. It seems like everybody lies. I hate it when the credit card company calls me. Well, you know that we're just calling you right now because, well, you know, we like to monitor all activity on the account to make sure that you're safe, that your card's not being used fraudulently, because, you know, we monitor that continually for your benefit. But it's really for their benefit, because we're not responsible for fraud. They are. And I used to yell at them all the time when they called me for that, and they would shut up and then hang up. And so now I just, yes, ma'am, what's happened? There were some charges at some weird place, and I knew that was Brendan, you know, charging some weird stuff we needed from across the sea. So I just approve them now. But there are so many obstacles. I mean, some of these programs, we're at the point now where I cannot leave a program on. Don't leave SpongeBob on.
Why?
Because the commercials are horrific.
SpongeBob is horrific.
Yeah.
I mean, SpongeBob maybe, but the commercials when SpongeBob goes off are horror flicks.
Oh, my
like
gosh.
We're watching SpongeBob, and then it goes into this new sexual show on HBO, or some kind of sex show, where they're going after the Kingsley. You know what I'm talking about? Horrible. I mean, it's so graphic. And why are they popping this on a kids' channel? And I'm like, it's everywhere. The obstacles are everywhere. It's a journey of faith. And the Israelites, for the most part, showed how not to make the journey. They lacked faith. Doubt and disobedience kept an entire generation of them from their inheritance. They were not able to enter because of their unbelief, it says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19. They perished in the wilderness. The warning to Christians is obvious. Faith is essential to inherit salvation. A converted person must, through faith and patience, inherit what has been promised. One of the Israelites' biggest mistakes was their lack of spiritual vision. At one point, they were poised on the border of the land they were to inherit, awaiting the return of 12 scouts who had been sent to get an idea of what the land was like. They were sent out to investigate. Can you imagine that night, waiting there, tents, fires, scouts going around the camp, waiting for those 12 to return? Tell us what it's like. The scouts returned and in glowing terms certified that the land was indeed rich and fertile as God had promised. But, they added, then they began to listen to all the obstacles they have seen. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13, verses 23 through 27. Numbers chapter 13, verses 23 to 27. But, they added, and then they began to list all the obstacles they had seen.
Numbers 13.
Numbers 13, chapter 23 through 27. Go ahead.
When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut off there. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses the account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land was explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes.
And amen.
We looked the same to them.
Thank you. Thank you. They had seen strongly fortified cities. Strong warriors, almost a third larger than them. And they had a fearsome stature. For 10 of the 12 scouts, there was only one logical answer. Retreat! And they spread among the Israelites a bad report. Nothing travels fast across a campfire than bad news. And I'm telling you what. It traveled quick. The people of Israel chose to believe the bad report. Because as it's traveling from campfire to campfire, everybody throws their spin on it. And by the time it gets to the other side of the camp, we're going to get decimated. We're going to get killed. They trusted in what they could see and what they heard from the spies. The faith had completely disappeared. Morale had collapsed. Disaster followed. The scouts who brought the bad report reasoned wrongly. They should have said, our eyes may see many terrifying obstacles to inherit the land. Nevertheless, we believe God's promises.
That was Caleb and Joshua, right?
Yep. Our God is bigger than all of them put together. But many centuries later, it happened again in Simon's fishing boat. Directed that the nets be let down for a catch of fish, Simon balked. He and the other professional fishermen had spent hours in a fruitless attempt to catch something. And I tell you what, there is nothing more disappointing than trying to fish all day and not catching nothing. That is why I don't even fish in Washington State. After coming from a place where every cast you catch a fish, to fish out here for 7 hours and then to hook something, reel it in and have it be 3 inches long, and then you can't even eat it. You have to return it. Forget it. Okay?
But bite out of him and throw him.
Yeah.
It's also funny just thinking about how simple as advice is, just why don't you try the other side of the boat? I mean, that's like, as an AT guy, somebody said, are you sure it's plugged in?
Yeah.
Like, of course I'm sure it's plugged in. I'm not a retarded guy. This is my day-to-day job. It's something I do every single day. I try both sides.
It must have sounded stupid.
Yeah.
Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Simon said the facts, but then he added, but because you say so, I will let the nets down. I mean, back in those days, I don't know if you've ever seen an Israeli fishing boat. If you go and Google it tonight, those nets were crude. Okay? And to fold those nets was a big pain in the butt. So to have them all folded like a parachute and then have to lower them down again, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Let's go to Luke chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Luke chapter 5, 5 and 6. Who's got it? Duke, haven't I bought you a Bible?
I gave him my Bible. Where is it?
I got your Bible.
Okay, I got it.
Okay.
Luke 5, 5 and 6.
And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large, you already what did this one, large number of fish that their nets began to break.
Amen. The physical evidence may proclaim the impossibility. All our eyes can see may threaten defeat. Nevertheless, we can believe God when he says he will help us, encourage us, and make things work out for us. But we have to become spiritually minded. We have to become spiritually minded. Another classic example was Peter's attempt to walk on the water in the Sea of Galilee. One night, Peter had some companions, were in a boat, and the boat was being battered by a storm. And they were in grave danger of sinking. This scripture speaks to me because I have been in Bristol Bay. This isn't on them fancy ships they got on the Discovery Channel now. This is the ones where there is not a radar. There's an old, rusty CB and a compass. And I have been in storms so bad in Bristol Bay that the bow at the very end of the boat gets lost in the water for 20 seconds at a time.
Wow.
Where you hear the props coming out of the water as you're jumping the waves. You are trying to get home. You're scared to death. Everybody's sick. It smells like puke. It's slimy all over the floor, and things are just falling. The kitchens fall apart, pots and pans. I'm talking a storm. They were in grave danger of sinking when suddenly they saw Jesus walking toward them amidst the surging waves, telling them not to be afraid. And I could see why Jesus did this. He keeps trying to teach them faith. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. They were probably petrified, and the reason why they thought it was a ghost was because they had heard all these stories of people dying on that lake. They had heard all of these crazy theories in the villages and stuff about all the crazy stuff that goes on that lake. There was another reason why Peter thought it was a ghost. T.D. Jakes explained it in one of his teachings, but I can't remember it. But they probably thought it was a ghost. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. So far, so good. How many times have you guys tried something in faith and had it completely work? And you shocked yourself so badly that you thought about it, and then you failed. I can think of things where, you know, I'm just starting to play guitar, or I start drawing, or some weird thing you're doing in front of people at a crowd or something, and you do it good, like for the first 5 seconds, your confidence goes away, and you completely, you just cannot finish it. Peter got to thinking. He saw the wind. He was afraid. He began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" One of the greatest hindrances to faith is that the world around us, like the raging water swirling around Peter, it seems so real. All these horrible things we see are real. Like, for instance, the letter I got from Group Health telling me that due to Obamacare, this medical plan I've been paying $2,498 a month for that covers all of my medical expenses. Everything. All I have to do is pay $5 per prescriptions, $5 for open heart surgery, $5 for broken foot, whatever. It's gone down the tubes over December 31st. Mm-hmm. And now I'm paying 20%. I have to pay $1,000 less, but I worked it out. I'm going to be paying a lot more because we're always in there. You know, the world is so scary. Being self-employed, there's all these people continually trying to take advantage of you. And your competitors are always trying to lie, cheat, and steal. Anything to get an advantage on you. I am so angry right now because, you know, we do PR for people, internet PR. But it's not something we really advertise for. It's our existing clients ask us for help. They want to be number one on Google, or they're having Yelp problems, or somebody's blogging something, something. So there's a Thai restaurant that we do a lot of fixing for. And, you know, some of these guys, I have Yelp accounts, so I email some of these guys that have made the bad, you know, reports, you know, and they, because you can message between Yelp. And they work for other Thai restaurants. And they're openly just telling me, you know, that they, you know, they work for another PR firm. They're out there lying on the internet, posting fake reviews, giving it one star and how horrible it was, so that they can, everybody can get, everyone's fighting for the number one spot on Yelp, because that's, no, they know that that's what the 35 and unders are looking at.
My Angie List, huh?
It's like Angie's List, just as bad. You can buy Angie's List.
What's Angie's List?
It's for contractors. But you can buy it.
Basically, the grading unit.
Yeah.
We feel pain when we are sick. We hear harassment or threats from neighbors. When we lose a job, we see the cold reality of a termination notice and the accumulation of bills. Family problems are real. Medical reports are real. So are the temptations and weaknesses of the flesh. You know, whatever the situation is, whatever, we can look around and see, hear, smell, taste, and feel reality. Knowledge comes through our senses. We can smell it. We can see it. We can hear it. We know it's there. We know it's there. But there is another vital dimension, faith. And faith sometimes operates in conjunction with our physical senses, making spiritual truths real to us. It is so hard to have faith. I know it is, because myself, I am so struggling. This year, I went through the trial of a century, not one of these short ones that goes away after a month. This one's been dragging on forever. And it's been changing me and teaching me this thing called faith. Not the kind of faith that everybody talks about. I'm talking about the real thing. I'm talking about having joy and peace in your heart because you know that God has your back. I'm talking about really believing that the Holy Spirit is guiding you despite all of your horrible circumstances. Let's look at the prophet Elijah. Once a huge army was sent to capture him and his little servant. The situation did not look good. Elijah's servant could see that the number of the enemy soldiers was immense, and they were all well armed. And he saw they surrounded the city. He saw there was no escape route, and he was scared. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. Who's got 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15? Go ahead.
When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked.
Amen. Amen. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? Elijah, to whom God was very real, answered, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." The servant must have wondered, What does he mean by that? Can't he count? There are two of us and hundreds of them. And Elijah prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. The servant now saw with his eyes what he should have seen by faith. The power that sustains and protects the righteous by far exceeds the opposing forces. I can see this in my own trial right now. I can see God pulling me out of it. Everything taking hold. Everything coming together. If our minds are mostly on the world and material things, exercising the spiritual element of faith is extremely difficult. We easily begin to sink in the waters of doubt, just as Peter did. The waters of doubt. I mean, I can just... I don't know how many times. I mean, I will admit to you that I have been in the waters of doubt so many times. When it was getting really, really horrible, when it was getting bad, it seemed like all of these forces were coming against me. But God began to work them out and fight the battles for me. Amen? Getting one's mind off of the physical and into the spiritual is one of the greatest keys to strengthening faith. Terry told me that.
Who's Terry?
Terry, she has really long hair at her church. She is on fire. She is on fire for Christ. She is a powerful worshiper. And she, Thursday nights, she comes to Seattle Revival. So, if our minds are mostly on the world and material things, exercising the spiritual element of faith is extremely difficult. On the other hand, getting one's mind off of the physical and into the spiritual is one of the greatest keys to strengthening faith. And we can fill our minds with spiritual understanding by studying God's word and allowing God's spirit to work in us. Also, through God-centered prayer, our minds will be more focused on the reality of God's presence in our lives. Faith also helps us to grasp, comprehend, and accept that there is a supernatural world all around us. We are warned that we do not battle mere flesh and blood. Accepting as truth all talk of angels and demons, heaven and hell, the Holy Trinity, and other wonders require faith. The books of the Bible are not fairy tales. There are 66 of these books written, stretching over 1,500 years. Moses, Noah, Esther, David, and Goliath, and the walls of Jericho are all truth and are all fact. And they all happened. This physical world entices and tempts believers to neglect the eternal. Therefore, we must carry our spiritual shield of faith everywhere we go. With this shield, we can stand up to the attacks and temptations the evil one tosses our way. Are you guys getting this? Mm-hmm. Amen? David confronted the giant Goliath in faith and was given victory. Everybody was laughing at him. It was complete faith. The guy was 2/3 his size. I mean, he was...
That's why when they were talking about in Numbers, the Anak, I think they were giants.
Yep.
Yeah.
That they're like the Anak are there. I'm pretty sure Goliath was an Anak or whatever.
It's all about faith. It's all about not perceiving the physical. It's all about actually seeing in the spiritual. Actually seeing the horses with chariots of fire that are there to fight your battles for you.
And standing on whatever God says.
That's right. And we too shall find victory when we stand up against the spiritual giants in our faith. By surrendering our wills to God, we grow in our dependence upon Him. Amen. As our trust deepens, the peace that transcends all understanding will then guard our heart from all distress. A deeper faith is then established, and we must trust God with this deeper faith. Because He, with all of our cares, knowing His plans and purposes, they're never thwarted when we have faith in God. He's always there for us. It is an actual, real thing. Finally, this trust and faith is the one true secret to bearing trials with patience and endurance. And that's what I'm learning to do right now. Is bear trials with faith and endurance and patience. By believing in a heavenly home, we can fix our eyes on the eternal happiness that lies beyond the grave. We must reflect how short these trials are when compared to the eternal glory of heaven. You know, you guys, when you get older, or if God really wants to teach you something, you will go through a super long trial. This one has been a year, and I got so many wonderful songs out of it.